double E, double R, you will. My buddies and their babies letting down their hair.
As long as we're together, it don't matter where.
Ain't got a lot of money, but we just don't care. Knowing that the bodies in the getting.
I just had to start off with a little George Jones today, and if you boys don't know anything about George Jones, he's one of the old-time country singers and just passed away last year. So anyhow, I like George Jones. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker, right here on Saturn's Day. Yeah! The 11th of January, 2014. I almost did it again. Yeah. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your donations for the show. And we got about everybody in here. I think almost everybody already in January here. That's good. I appreciate that. And like I say, it's... Once we get listed down that you're on top of your donation, then you're going to get your private password, so you don't have to worry about ever missing the show. If you don't get it from me for some weird reason, well, you can go right to the website and get it. So, anyhow. Well, it warmed up. Got up to about 45 degrees, and then the snow's melting all over the place, and then it started snowing again, but it didn't... It didn't stay on the ground, so anyhow, we got a lot less snow than we did 24 hours ago, and I'm sure happy about that, because I was getting tired of that crap. Mr. J from Santana, we got your yearly paid donation in here today. That's good, thank you. And we got some other green stuff from that boy up there in Las Vegas, our man in Las Vegas, yeah. So thank you, and I already shipped out $25 to Matt Hale from that, like you told me to do. And I sent some more out to that stranded friend of ours out in California, too, that was staying in one of those shelters. But he's back in the apartment now, so we sent that off today. Got a nice letter from down south, George Loeb, the old COTC man, who's in one of those horrible Florida state prisons. It's a real hellhole, man. Talk about concentration camps. And like I told you before... they now don't allow them hardly any funds or anything free in the Florida prisons. They even have to buy their own shoes, and if their shoes go bad, they go barefooted. And then they talk about concentration camps in Afghanistan and things like that. Bullshit, we got them right here. So anyhow, he finally got his money I sent to him, and he's real happy. I don't think he's been getting anything from anybody else. The lone guy from Portland, I got his donation today, too. How about that? Thank you. At that Yonkers, New York, that New York boy, he came through today, too. Well, I got a letter back here from Mr. Dutton, who is Craig Cobb's partner up there. And I know everybody's, you know, I even said I was really pissed off and wasn't going to do anything, but I can't leave these guys just hang up there. I just can't do it. And so anyhow, we sent him up some money and a phone card. He says, thank you very much for writing me. Also, thanks for the phone card and the money, and that was very generous of you. I've been a fan of yours for some time, both with your work in our great movement and your writings, although I am not up to date with some of your more current radio internet works. It is quite an honor to hear from you. I personally believe you are to be one of the great forerunners of the white nationalism. Well, come on, man. You're spreading it on a little too thick there. I am excited, if I get out of here at some point, to follow your current works. I would be more than happy to give you my attorney's name and number, as well as authorize him to speak with you. His name is, and he gave me his name here, I'm going to call him. He seems to be doing an okay job, especially considering that he was appointed by the court. Well, there's a fallacy about this court-appointed attorneys. A lot of guys always say, oh, they're no good, they're no good, they're no good. Well, I happen to know that some of them are very good. In fact, I've had court-appointed attorneys that did an excellent job for me. So this doesn't necessarily mean just because he's court-appointed. I mean, they can appoint the top attorney in the area. I mean, you know, they take their turn in the barrel for pro bono type stuff. I guess being warm is a positive, especially with the record lows this winter. I have no idea about the house in Leith. Well, what happened to the house in Leith? They were going to tear it down, but since Deborah, I believe her name was Deborah, moved out, and she's safely out of harm's way. But the ex-wife of this guy came to town and grabbed his three kids and took off with them. So when he gets out, he's going to have to fight to get his kids back. However, maybe under these circumstances, it's better that they be out of the area. But I do know that Deborah, my girlfriend, wife, is safe elsewhere. Unfortunately, I can't say the same for my two children, as the moment I was arrested, Grant County Sheriff swooped in and gave them to my ex-wife, a very irreputable woman who lost rights to her other three children back in Oregon for drugs, neglect, and so on. In fact, the SD even paid her for the trip. The sooner I get out of here, the sooner I can start to fight to get them back. The Bismarck reporter you mentioned is hit or miss. Half the time she does a good job, the other half she can't form a complete sentence, let alone report facts. In this case, I almost think the press is doing more harm than good. Well, they usually are. But who knows? It's definitely clear that we are getting the short end of the stick. Well, once the law gets a hold of you, they're going to rack you for everything they can. So to speak, where the DA is concerned, not to mention the judges thus far as well. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a political agenda afoot. Are you kidding? It's all political. The incident was nothing. This is all political. It's already clear that the DA has a personal bias against us. Well, look, DAs always have a personal bias against everybody. their main thing is to put another notch on their gun gun grips and move on up the line. They don't want to be a local podunk DA for long. They want to move on up. I bet you he's going to be running for attorney general next time the election comes around. You would think that they would focus on actual issues like oil spills, drilling, and so on, rather than wasting court time and money on Craig and I, but this area is very Zionized. Well, what you mean is Zionist Christian. I doubt whether there's many Jews around there, but there's sure plenty of Jew-minded Christians. That's Tommy talking. Not to mention, not much goes on here. Anyone that doesn't agree with their politics or religion is automatically persecuted and outcasted. Yeah, well, that's what you got to expect, you know. Do you have any advice for me, sir? Well, I got a lot of advice, but I'm trying to do all I can, but as I am sure you're aware, I'm semi-limited in here. I'm not very familiar with legal avenues, or any. My experience with the judicial system is minimal. Well, I sent a couple of law books in, sent them off today to Craig, so might help out a little bit. Any advice or thoughts would be very much appreciated. Well, I gave him a phone card so I can talk to him. I'm going to call his lawyer. I'm still dedicated to our cause, my race, and my family. They can never take that away from lucky for me. I'm allowed to have copies of the White Man's Bible, Nature's Eternal Religion, here in jail. Well, that's pretty good. Sometimes I hope to get more folks of our people here to study. At least while I have nothing but time, I can expound on my knowledge and anything you could add to my reading list, sir. I've read a lot of the works, but I know I can always learn more. Thank you again, sir, for donating your money and time to me, sir. Means a lot to me to have someone of your stature give me your support. Hope all is well in your world, and hope to hear from you again. Well, I'm not trying to say that these guys did the right thing, they didn't go about it the right way, and they walked right into the shit, but I just can't leave them just totally out there on a limb. I just can't do it. That's just not my nature. Because I know that all the hatred the system has against them is right over on us too, no matter how we operate. No matter how you operate. If you're a white racial separatist, they're against you. They're against you. Now, I was called by the National Geographic people yesterday. They said they wanted to know whether I wanted to go out there to the trial, and they moved it from Monday to Wednesday. It was supposed to be Monday. I said, well, yeah, I would be interested in going out there. And I know, of course, what they're trying to do. I mean, you know, I've been through this a million times, but I can usually turn their little game around and get some good licks in and sort of dull their spears. Because there's things I can say that I think will help the boys. Well, anyhow, they're going to call me back, and I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. But anyhow, I did want to go out there, but I didn't want to spend our money, you know, for that big long trip, because I don't know. I think it's about $500 round trip, and I didn't feel right spending that out, either out of my money or your money. So anyhow, in fact, the money I sent to this Dutton was my money. So anyhow, anybody out there pissed off that I'm sending Dutton some money, well, that's the way that goes. I got a nice letter from Dennis Mahon. He's the guy who developed the term bowel movement. There is no movement. There's only a bowel movement. Hope things are going well for you and Mary and all your children and grandchildren. 2014, I believe, will be a bad year for America. Our race is degenerating very quickly, so worse is better. The point of total desperation, starvation, violence, and financial collapse and race war could be as soon as 5 to 10 years. This will be a good thing in the long run. Thanks for the great 21-page article on revolutionary ecology and the Green Nazi and investigative into that situation. I would like to read Bromwell's book, Blood and Soil. Well, I'll look around for it. Maybe someday. My brother just sent me Which Way Western Man. It's now very hard to find. My brother finally found one with National Guard books on Amazon.com. Unfortunately, it was $52. I've never read it. Sean Walker and the... can't read this word here. Who took over National Alliance, destroyed it, and are selling all of its assets. I don't know whether that's all true or not. Can't this thing of ours produce any moral, dedicated, intelligent leadership? You and I won't be around much longer. The white gang leadership is pathetic, vain, egotistical, impulsive, and outright childish. Tattoos are more important than reading our history and tactics. There are a few good ones, very few. By the way, just curious, on our cover sheet, greetings from the insurgent to prisoners. The prisoner is blotted out and the words asshole, LOL, is printed there. Tom, I don't know why it's there. Well, it's because all the trouble you caused me, Dennis. So I crossed out prisoner. I said, asshole 101. He's been in purgatory, as far as I'm concerned, for quite some time since the trial. And I think I'm finally going to let him out of purgatory. Tom, I don't know why it's there. I whited it out and printed prisoner back on it. It is an excellent introduction sheet. Tom, in the past 4 or 5 months, I haven't received one letter or a dime of support from anybody. I'm disappointed. At least you gave me $20 a while back or so. Enjoy the photo of my mayor's race in Tulsa that I'm sending you in 1992. You and I gave it a good shot. It's sad that the POWs get so little support. From 1990 to 1999, while living in Tulsa, every Friday night between 7 and 8, David Lane would call me, collect, and web talk from 15 to 30 minutes. I wish I could have recorded our great communications. Tom, one time in, I believe, 1994, Carol Howe even gave him phone sex for five minutes or so. Sex was one thing Carol was good at. And as we know, she turned... was a great actress, but not nearly as good as Rebecca Williams, my BATF paid informant lover for 4 years. That Negro bomb victim of the Scottsdale, Arizona diversity office wrote a book about the bombing, BATF investigation and trial. Its title is Targeted Delivery. I think it's only on e-books, but could be in print form now. I'm trying to find someone to read it and give me an accurate review of it. But you and I both know it will be full of lies. Logan was slightly injured in that bombing. He has given hundreds of speeches across the nation in the past 8 or 9 years. My attorney, Deborah Williams, who you met, thinks he has made hundreds of thousands of dollars off that bombing. The ADL still has Dan and I on their racist extremist list. Well, of course they do. Well, it is nice that you and a few others haven't forgotten me. Drinking that Everclear for years took away my judgment. Well, I told you that a couple of years before you got in trouble. You got to get off that hooch. Tyranny like hell, not easily conquered. Your friend, Dennis Mahan. So I'm going to, now that I'm bringing him out of purgatory, he's been punished enough by me, giving him somewhat of a cold shoulder because of his stupid actions, or being caught up in a stupid act. And I'll start sending him a few funds now and then. Anyhow, it's such a waste for our guys to get in there, our friends to get in there, because once they got you, man, they ain't going to leave go of you unless they absolutely have to. I forget whether I told you about that house that belonged to Craig Cobb in Leith. They were going to tear it down. This is to show you what vindictive people they are. They came up with a new city ordinance for Leith that if somebody didn't live in a house, I guess, with no plumbing or whatever, they could tear it down. And so, ironically, as long as this Deborah lady was still there, they were going to tear it down. But when she moved out, by their own law, they couldn't tear it down. Talk about a screwed up deal. Well, I see the butcher of Sabra and Shatila has finally croaked. Eric Sharon. He hung on there for a long time, but he finally bit the dust. Well, for the atrocities you inflicted on many Palestinians, it's too bad you didn't go long time ago. Well, we've got a black anti-Semite that has passed away. Anti-Jewish black poet Amarai Baraka dies. Amarai Baraka, the New Jersey poet laureate, whose works were celebrated by blacks but often condemned by Jews, has died. Baraka's writings and lectures and poetry brought him national renown beginning in the 60s. And the one-time black nationalist was celebrated by many African Americans as a voice of the disenfranchised. He was the winner of the Penn Faulkner Award. But Baraka, who died Thursday at age 79, let's see here, what else? At age 79, also could be hateful. On September 2002, not long after he was named the Poet Laureate of New Jersey, Baraka penned a poem called Somebody Blew Up America that suggested Israel knew in advance about the 9/11 attacks. He wrote, quote, "Who knew the World Trade Center was going to get bombed? Who told 4,000 Israeli workers at the Twin Towers to stay home that day? And why did Sharon stay away?" The poem prompted calls for Baraka's dismissal as New Jersey's poet laureate, including by then Governor James McCreevy. Baraka refused after it became clear that there was no way to force him to resign. New Jersey's legislature voted in 2003 to eliminate the position entirely, to show you how much Jew control there is in New Jersey, where Fat Tony lives, and how all his people around him, all these people are Jews, and I hope it's going to bring him down. Well, for the second time in a month, Israel demanded clarifications from the Netherlands on Dutch firms' divestment from Israel. On Friday, Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs summoned the Dutch ambassador to Israel, Kasper Veldkamp, to provide clarifications on the decision by PGGM, a large pensions administrator, to divest from five Israeli banks because of their activities in the West Bank settlements. During the meeting between Veldkamp and Raphael Schultz, the ministry's deputy director general on foreign affairs, European affairs, Schultz told the ambassador that PGGM's decision is unacceptable and relies on false pretense, according to a statement by the ministry. Israel expected the Netherlands, in the spirit of friendship between our countries, to take an unequivocal stance against such steps, which only wreaked damage to the relations, the statement read. Well, there you go. More people are getting upset with old Israel. Well, I'll tell you that, Israel's pissed off all the time, aren't they? They need an enema. They need to take some of that stuff. The president of Hungary's Jewish Umbrella Group criticized a planned monument to victims of Germany's occupation for ignoring Hungary's complicity in the Holocaust. The memorial announced Thursday would be built in Budapest Freedom Square and pay tribute to, quote, all Hungarian victims, with the erection of the monument commemorating the tragic German occupation and the memorial year to mark the 70th anniversary of the Holocaust. according to the Hungarian Government Information Center. The proposed monument would serve to blot out the responsibility of the Hungarian government of that time, Andreas Hessler, president of Mazis, the umbrella group representing Hungarian Jewish communities, told JTA Friday. Hessler said that the Hungarians were also involved in the mass killings of Hungarian Jews 70 years ago, and that any monument commemorating the Holocaust victims should reflect that fact. We want a big Star David all over the front of that damn thing. And we want the Star David flying over that thing. Come on. You know, don't you know who's boss here? Not you Hungarians, your country. No, we'll tell you what to do, just like we do the Congress in the United States and the U.S. Senate, and most of the time the Presidente. Here's more. There's more, boys and girls. Supporters of the anti-Jewish comedian Duodone hijacked three French pro-Israel websites in a coordinated cyber attack. The attack Thursday paralyzed the websites Israel-Flash.com, Europe-Israel.org, and the Ligue Defensive Juive.com, the website of the French Jewish Defense League, and all four of their members, and replaced their content with messages of support for Duodone, Le Nouveau Observateur reported. On the hijacked websites, the hackers called the attack a triple quenelle, a reference to a gesture invented by Duodone, which French Interior Minister Manuel Valls last week termed an inverted Nazi salute, an anti-Jewish gesture of hate, unquote. The gesture involves placing one's outstretched left palm on one's right shoulder while pointing down with one's right arm. Well, let me get that straight. After a couple of beers, that could get hard to do. Duodone has been convicted 7 times of inciting hatred of Jews. On Thursday, a French court banned him from performing in Nantes in what was called the debut of his new show, The Wall. On the website of the far-right JDL, the hackers posted a caricature of the league's logo, featuring the silhouette of a ballet dancer framed on a Star David of the original logo. And then they went on to say, what did they say here? Quote, dear Zionist enemies, some of you, all of you, interpret the quenelle to be secretly anti-Jewish. This is a mistake, unquote. The text posted on the JDL's website read, I realize you don't like Duodone, but unfortunately you don't understand the material. This can be fixed. The hackers also posted videos claiming the quenelle is an anti-establishment expression. Well, I hope they're not backing down on this stuff after they went to all that work to crash the sites. Ooh, I hope they don't come out with us. Oh, we're not anti-Jewish. No. This, on Monday, Le Monde paper reported that the French police are looking to question a man who posted a photo of himself performing the quenelle in front of a synagogue in Bordeaux, one of dozens of such photos that have surfaced in French media in recent weeks. So giving any kind of a salute or symbol or anything over there in Europe, they don't like that. And that just shows you the Jews still have tremendous power over there. Well, supposedly this is the violent list out of Moscow, out of Russia. In December 2013, 3 people were targeted in racist and neo-Nazi attacks. In Moscow, a Tajik national was killed, while 2 Uzbeks were assaulted in St. Petersburg. Well, being assaulted could mean anything. Somebody slapped them or peed on their shoes or whatever. According to preliminary data for the year, such attacks in 32 regions of Russia resulted in the deaths of no fewer than 20 people and injuries to no fewer than 173. Additionally, 9 people were targets of serious death threats. The capital cities maintained their status as the leading centers of racist violence, with 8 killed and 53 injured in Moscow, and 3 killed and 32 injured in St. Petersburg. There were many victims in the Lipasek region. 4 killed, 9 injured. The Chelyabinsky and Moscow regions, both with 8 injured. And the Severodvinsk region, 2 killed, 4 injured. In 2013, the primary victims of the attack from the far-right activists were natives of the Central Asian countries. 13 killed, 39 injured. The Caucasus, 3 killed, 26 injured. People identified simply as bearing a non-Slavic appearance. 1 killed, 28 injured. Blacks, 5 injured. Chinese, 6 injured. Others who faced assault were the same groups targeted by repressive laws passed recently. Minority religious groups, 24 injured. And the LGBT community, 1 killed, 25 injured. At the same time, the number of attacks on leftist activists and members of youth groups decreased, 7 injured. These had formerly been primary targets for the far right. We're aware of only a single act of neo-Nazi vandalism in December 2013 carried out against a Jewish community center. Accordingly, we recorded 79 acts of ideological motivated vandalism in 37 regions of the country this year. The main targets were Orthodox churches, 29 incidents, Jehovah's Witnesses buildings, 11 incidents, and Jewish and Muslim objects, 10 and 9 incidents, respectively. In terms of public action, the ultra-right laid relatively low in December. In St. Petersburg, there was a march against ethno-terror held on the anniversary of the December 2010 events on Manas Square in Moscow. It was organized by Dmitry Bobrov of the National Socialist Initiative with 100 to 220 people in attendance. Moscow activists organized by Alexander Amelin of the Russian Renaissance attempted to pull off a similar action, but most were detained before it began by the police. Additionally, a small rally was held on December 7th at Yuzhny Vorota Square near the monument to the border guards of the fatherland. Time to coincide with the anniversary of the death of soccer fan Igor Shverdov. The action, which brought together some 10 people, was organized by the Brotherhood of St. Vladimir Moscow Rona, R-O-N-A, led by Oleg Filachev, in conjunction with Pomyat. Oh, Pomyat's still around. How about that? December saw a few local conflicts that sparked anti-immigrant invader incidents among residents. The most important was in the Nizhny Novgorod region city of Arzamas, where riots turned into pogroms, leading to detentions. The source of the unrest was a brawl at a local cafe that ended in the local's death at the hands of the Armenian migrant. Another notable event was the November 23rd murder of boxer Ivan Klimov of Omsk, which was made known on a December 10th edition of Channel 1 show, Let Them Talk. The suspects in the killing were Roma drug traffickers, gypsy drug traffickers. The broadcast caused new excitement around the case, leading to a few rallies. Well, it needs to be more than rallies, you know. No fewer than 3 convictions were issued this month for racist violence motivated by hatred. I've never known violence that wasn't motivated by hatred, no matter what it is. In Vladimir and Nizhny Novgorod regions and Khabarovsky, Korea, these words are hard to pronounce, 9 people were convicted. The most notable decision was the Priyatsky District Court verdict against 7 Nazi skinheads of the group's White Flock. The convicts had been accused of no fewer than 10 attacks on non-white people, or those mistaken for pedophiles. From 2010 to 2012, none of the group was sentenced to prison time. Instead, the group's founder was given a suspended sentence, while 2 other individuals were sentenced to hard labor. The case against the remaining four was discontinued due to either reconciliation or amnesty. As such, 2013 saw no fewer than 30 verdicts for racist violence motivated by hatred in 23 regions of the country. These decisions convicted a total of 54 people. Four of them were exempted from punishment for various reasons, while 12 were handed suspended sentences without additional sanctions. There were 14 verdicts against as many people in the 12 regions of the country for xenophobic propaganda. Huh. That's just for free speech. In December 2013, one of those convicted was sentenced to prison time. One was released due to an expired statute of limitations, and the rest were subjected to non-custodial sentences. For 2013 as a whole, there were 129 cases against 131 people in 57 regions of the country on charges under Article 282, inciting hatred. You see, free speech, free speech. They don't have it over there. The Article 280, public calls for extremist activity. 11 of those convicted received suspended sentences. 13 were given custodial sentences, and almost all were sentenced according to related violent criminal charges. Of course, the Jews were demanding life in prison for everybody. For organization of an extremist organization or the participation therein, Article 282.1 of the Criminal Code 2013 saw two proper convictions against three individuals in the Irkutsk and Moscow regions. The Irkutsk, the group Molotovki, were sentenced along with the leader of the organization's spiritual ancestral, Power Rus. There were nine convictions for vandalism motivated by hatred, Article 214, Part 2, against 12 people in eight regions of this country. In December 2013, the federal list of extremist materials was updated three times. In total, 2013 saw the list expand from 1,589 entries to 2,179 over the course of 46 updates. Entry 1674 was excluded from the list while the number was kept. Entry 1844 changed as the number of the materials in question was increased by one. As of December 30th, 2013, the list included 39 zeroed items, meaning those excluded, while their numbers of entry remained. Five of these were deletions due to duplicate entries. 34 were deletions based upon rulings canceling a material status as extremist. 62 entries reflected duplicates of the single ruling. Well, this goes on and on and on. On and on and on. But there's a hot time in the old town tonight over in Russia. Yeah. Tick, 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 tick. Well, that stuff was put out by this Jewish-controlled Searchlight magazine out of Britain. And I forgot the guy's name now. He's been a pain in the ass for a long time. But I sent a comment back to them and said, "Good work, my Russian comrades." Oh, man. Now they got a vicious Russian neo-Nazi attacker flees to Cuba. Evidently, they've given him time to stay in Cuba. That's interesting that the Cubans would go along with that. There's some interesting things happening in this world. You got to really keep your eyes open and your ears to the ground. His name was Maxim the Cleaver Martinkevich. Evidently, he allegedly videotaped torturing somebody. But anyhow, it's interesting that he fled to Cuba and they let him in. I don't know who this Yela Wolf is, Y-E-L-A Wolf, but evidently he's a rapper. It says he puts his Confederate flag collection on display, offensive or proud symbol of his heritage. This is a little hard to understand. He's evidently against racism, but yet he's proud of his stars and bars and so from. He said here, now if you can understand this, quote, "I'm from the South. That shit don't fly. There are grandparents alive today whose parents went through a war. We're just out of the slave trade, unquote, he told Vlad TV in 2011. Quote, it's a very real situation. Hip-hop and American music culture is black culture. Well, I agree with that. Don't ever get it fucked up, he said. Know your roots. Know where the fuck you're getting this music from and respect it. And don't embarrass white people and white rappers by doing that dumb shit. By dropping the N-bomb and thinking you're all cool and shit. You're going to find yourself slapped up and it might be by a white boy because you ain't gonna embarrass me around my people like that. As a white rapper, it's always been big no-no, but as a human being, it's been even bigger no-no. So evidently, I guess he's proud of his southern background and proud of the flag and all that, the Confederate flag and all that, but you don't want white people saying nigger, I guess. I don't know. I'm confused. You might want to explain this all to me. Well, I guess that Nick Griffin was with the BNP, the chief cook and bottle washer, that now has got himself a cooking show on Brit TV. He's running around down in Greece now, supporting the Golden Dawn. Well, my advice to them is to tell him thanks, but no thanks, as far as I'm concerned. Well, here's a note from one of our Stray Dog supporters out there. In fact, it is Stray Dog. Anytime I hear someone mention wanting to help the movement or join the movement, it makes my blood boil. For some, our white working class racial struggle is a movement. Yeah, like a hobby that one can join and be cool for a while, have some laughs, and then get out. Our struggle is not a movement. Someone using those terms is considered a hobbyist. Every day in every state from California to New Jersey, whites are fighting and holding our own, and we will meet the mud races brutally with even more brutality. The niggers have declared open warfare on white women in the streets. They film their attacks and post them online. Thousands of attacks never get solved or reported. That door swings both ways. Remember that. Lone wolf. Stray Dog. Well, the only time I really tolerate that movement situation is some of these people, young kids and so forth, they're totally new and they don't know what terms to use. But I agree otherwise. Yeah, I do. Looks like the Olympics are going to have some interesting security. How about this? Moscow Cossacks in their traditional lamb's wool hats and coats with epaulets will be patrolling the Russian resort of Sochi for next month's Winter Olympics. Russia has imposed a security clampdown in Sochi to try and ensure the safety of the games, which are sworn target of Moscow's most wanted man, the Islamic insurgency leader, Duko Umarov. There you go. Well, here's the new AG Holder, Attorney General Holder's new school discipline dictates. Stop targeting blacks and Hispanics. Attorney General Eric Holder has a new crusade. He says that schools discriminate against blacks and Latinos when it comes to meting out discipline in public schools, and he wants it stopped. The Justice Department and the Department of Education have issued new guidelines for disciplining students in public schools and claim that their internal investigations show racial bias. There certainly is racial bias, but it's not the way you're talking about. The wide-ranging series of guidelines issued today in essence threaten schools with strong action if they are seen as not adhering to standards of fairness and equity in student discipline, which to a black means jump all over the white boys and make them go home from school and all that kind of stuff. Wide-ranging series of guidelines issued today. In our investigations, we have found cases where Nigger American students were disciplined more harshly and more frequently because their race than similarly situated white students. Well, that's because the niggers are more animalistic. Harder to control. It's obvious they have to get tougher with them. In short, racial discrimination in school discipline is a real problem. Yeah. Well, if you don't have some strong arm stuff going on in school, these niggers will go crazy. Could it maybe have something to do with the higher percentage of black students constituting major discipline problems, perhaps? Nah, couldn't be. Must be racism. Yeah. According to government civil rights data collected in 2011 to 2012, black students make up 15% of the population of American public schools, yet they were more than three times as likely as white students to get expelled or suspended. They made up more than a third of the students suspended once, 44% of those suspended more than once, and more than a third of the students expelled. According to one study I saw, blacks were 10 times more likely to get suspended or expelled than Asian students. Well, that's because they get out of line, you stupid idiot. More than half of the students involved in school-related arrests or referred to law enforcement were Hispanic or black, according to the data. Racism, obviously, also, although not in California or some other jurisdictions where the huge Los Angeles Unified School District has a policy now of not suspending students for what's called willful defiance. In other words, repeatedly disrupting class, creating a climate where learning is impossible and refusing to pay any attention to the teacher's efforts to stop it. See, this has now gone statewide with pending legislation, AB 40. It's going to make it fairly difficult for public school to suspend or expel any student. This, too, is largely sparked by complaints that blacks and Hispanic students are being suspended far too often. No, they're just violent, that's all. There's teeth in the new policies, too. For instance, in Brevard County, Florida, where the public school suspends black students about 2.5 times as often as its white students, the NAACP has filed a complaint against the school district, and the Justice Department and the U.S. Department of Education are helping them proceed. Good. Tear it to pieces. Bring it down. Bring education all the way down to the ground. Holder said in a statement that he blames the high rates of black suspension and expulsion on zero tolerance policies that too often inject the criminal justice system into school discipline. The zero tolerance policies he's talking about are mandated set penalties for things like truancy, drugs on campus, or carrying a weapon. And our attorney general thinks it's time that stopped. Well, they just put it in there a few years ago because niggers were going crazy. It used to be that troublemakers guilty of multiple offenses were sent to the specific school, a specific school set up for exactly what purposes, and placed under stricter discipline to both benefit themselves and other children who actually wanted to learn. That sort of common sense arrangement is a thing of the distant past. In other words, they were taking the troublemakers and putting them into a school all by themselves and let them tear the place apart so other kids could learn something. While the new Obama guidelines are said to be exactly that, they're clearly a warning and will be taken as such by the schools. Oh, God, God help these kids between now and the time Obongo gets out of office. So if your child is assaulted, bullied, or cheated out of an education you paid for by someone else's activities in the classroom, and the perpetrator just happens to be black or Hispanic, don't even bother complaining, even if you yourself are black or Hispanic, let alone white or Asian. Ditto if you're a teacher, especially in one of the large urban politically correct school districts. Or, to put it another way, is there a reason you haven't started homeschooling or put your kids in private school yet? Well, most working class people can't afford to put a kid in private school, and the trouble is with both husband and wife working their ass off trying to maintain a job and an income, it's very difficult for them to homeschool too. It's a mess. It is a mess. But it's up to the parents physically to stand up and go down to these schools and do whatever has to be done. Well, there's no other way out. Well, I see the North Carolina NAACP State Conference is mobilizing a massive march on Raleigh to challenge injustice and restore democracy. The North Carolina NAACP State Conference and the historic Thousands on Jones Street People's Coalition today announced a moral march on Raleigh on Saturday, February 8th. Wait a minute. That's already happened. I didn't see anything in the news of buildings burning down or anything. The massive march will bring the North Carolinians from all corners of the state to restore democracy. You're going to get a bunch of people marching around and that's going to restore democracy? You've got to be out of your mind. Challenge injustice in the Tar Heel State, mobilize voters, and continue their critique of the extreme agenda of the state lawmakers. More than a march, the event will also serve as an assembly where participants organize for the rest of 2014. And boy, they're going to show what for. Boy, they're going to immediately, the guys in the State House are going to listen to these guys, man, because these guys mean business, man. They're going to restore democracy, man. I see that Johnny Lee Clary, the Rot Reverend Johnny Lee Clary, and what the hell's his name? Jimmy Swaggart. One of the biggest crooks in the country. They're getting together, man. I saw a picture of them here, and I'm going to see if I can find it again. Arm in arm, boy. Johnny looks weirder and weirder and weirder every time I see him. And he's still talking about all the information he's got on the Klan. He hasn't been in the Klan for 25 years. But he knows all about that stuff, man, because he's working with the baby Jesus now. And Jimmy Swaggart, you know, remember him getting caught in a motel with the prostitutes and stuff like that? But he's been forgiven. Yeah, that's right. He's back at it, fleecing the sheep. Well, that's about it for today, boys and girls, and I'll be back with you on Moonsday. Yeah, Moonsday after a little break here. So remember, 14-5, and keep your chin up. A lot of this news is funny as hell if you look at it in the right way, in the right light. enjoy that picture of Jimmy Swaggart and Johnny Lee Clary, the guy that was... He might have called himself the Imperial Wizard. He was no longer the Imperial Wizard of anything, the little fat con man. He's the craziest looking guy I've ever seen, man. He's getting crazier looking all the time, man. 14-5.
There's teddy bears and high school rings and old photographs that mamas bring, but daddies with their young boys playing ball. There's combat boots that he used to wear when he was sent over there. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall. There's cigarettes and there's cans of beer and notes that say I miss you, dear, and children who don't say anything at all. There's purple hearts and packs of gum, fatherless daughters and fatherless sons, and there's 50,000 names carved in the wall. They come from all across this land in pickup trucks and minivans, searching for a boy from long ago.
and go.
There are stars of David and rosary beads and crucifixion figurines and flowers of all colors, large and small. There's a Boy Scout badge and American, little American flags waving in the wind. And there's 50,000 names carved in the wall. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall.